a short intro in rightly and wrongly dividing the word of truth, based upon a lot of controversy concerning 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The verse tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing," excuse me, "the word of truth." So, now we had a 2-point intro and we were about to go into part 3. But I wanted to really start focusing on some of the other issues. You know, we focus in the beginning on the issues of but now, times past, and ages to come. But that's what we really will be covering, issues that are in those different segments of God's Word. And the first study we talked about the but nows that were in the scriptures. We touched on those in our intro to show you the condition of the believers in the church, the body of Christ, in times past, and in the position of the but now, which is, and we illustrated these things by scriptures. Now, when we looked at a few issues here, we looked at the issue initially of how the church, the body of Christ, came together through the issue of 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, made up of both Jew and Greek, the body of Christ, the one body concept, through that spirit, through that baptism by one spirit into one body. And I want to thank Karen again, and thank you, Karen, you popped out last week. We thank you for the posting, but we want to continue on here. And so we looked at the themes concerning that issue, and of course we want to move on to a somewhat controversial issue within the body of Christ in Paul's letters. When we look at Paul's letters, we must note the things that took place in his messages to us during the Acts period. And we look at some of those letters and we see things changing just as they were in the book of Acts leading up to Paul's conversion. Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, there are some things that happen in your Bible that it's not a change of God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit, but we see progressively how things happen. We see there in Acts chapter 9, let's go to Acts chapter 9 at Paul's conversion, and we see and understand his commission. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Now, when you look at that commission, when you look at those marching orders given to the Apostle Paul, then when looking back in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 with Peter and the 12, you see a difference. You see Paul going there initially to the Jew first and then to the Greek. We see the direction in Acts 2, and let's look here at Acts 2 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Sorry about that chapter reference, but Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now note here, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay? Now bear in mind that up until the point of Paul's conversion, they had only went to the circumcision. And we note this as Peter in Acts chapter 10, which is after Acts chapter 9, goes to the house of Cornelius. Okay? So, after Paul has gone to the Jew first during the Acts period, we see there in Acts chapter 28, after the third time that Paul had rebuked the nation Israel, we pick it up here in Acts chapter 28 and verse 28. It says, "Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when they heard these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves." Alright, that's verse 28 and 29. So after that, Paul comes to the point in his epistles there, and we look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, and we see there verse 7, 8, and 9. Galatians 2, verses 7, 8, and 9, we see Paul telling us, and the mighty commission there, in agreement with Peter and the 12 there, or James, Cephas, and John, we see, as he says in verse 7, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that dwelt effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Okay, that's very important when you rightly divide the word of truth, that you get those issues right. To get those things wrong, you are wrongly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible is not one big smorgasbord that you can just pick and choose and say, "I'll take this verse and I'll take that verse." We need to understand what Paul is doing during the Acts period and what Paul is doing after the Acts period in his ministry. And we need to understand the doctrine. Okay? Now, let's look here first at Acts chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 21 before we get into our study. Acts chapter 3 in one hand, and verse 21, and then we're going to look at two other verses. Let's first look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, "Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Okay? And Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Says, "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." And that's the basis of the context of the scriptures. We see Peter preaching Christ according to prophecy, according to things that were spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Here, with the Apostle Paul, we see him preaching Christ, Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So one thing was hidden, one thing was made known. Now, this present dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, we see that these things are revealed. But they're revealed in the scriptures, and the problem that the body of Christ faces today is that everyone, or most of the body, doesn't understand what is going on, why this is so important. They don't understand Christ being preached according to prophecy, or Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery. They try to lump it up and make it the same thing, when distinctively it is a difference. So therefore, they study wrongly, and that's the issue that we face. Let's first look at another scripture here in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. This is the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, think about this. Paul says he received this from the risen Christ, from our Lord Jesus Christ, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Okay? Now, we know in Paul's letters that Paul is addressing, he's given doctrine, he's given history, he's given us the information to equip the saints here. We also know, according to the book of the letters to the Corinthians, that Paul is an able minister of the New Testament will of God. Now let's look at that in Scripture, because that's going to be an important point for us to understand. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Okay? Now, why is that so important to understand? Because in Paul's letters, and Brother Elo can confirm this with us, when we look at some of the passages like we're going to look at tonight, we're going to look at Romans chapter 2 and parts of Romans chapter 3 to get an understanding why this information is coming to us here. What is Paul dealing with when he deals with the believers and non-believers and all that are here existing upon the planet, there in the book of Romans. Early part of Romans there, in Romans chapter 1, we see Paul establishes the, starts from chapter 1 on to the last verse in chapter 16 to establish the believers. He lays the foundation. And let's look at one verse here, Romans 1 and verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, one of the issues we want to look at here is one of the controversial topics or parts of the chapter. We want to look here in Romans chapter 2. Now remember, folks, Paul addresses in his letters the issues of times past, but now, and ages to come. Now, in Romans chapter 2, and we've all heard some of the information that is given as the application. You must think about the application of the doctrine that is delivered and why it is being delivered. Now, let's start here with Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, "For there is no respecter of person with God." Now, that fact has been established here in Paul's ministry, okay, and we're going to talk about those issues also. All right, we're just going to stick with verse 11 for now, Karen. Let's go to an Old Testament scripture. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy and times past to understand one of the principles that's being laid out here and to also put it in its proper perspective. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 22. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. Okay, and now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statute, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Okay? Verse 14, behold, the heavens of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord has a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people. Okay, now think about this. He said he's chosen them above all people as it is this day. Okay, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your hearts, and be no more stiff-necked. Okay, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards. Now think about this now. He's saying here in the verses, for those that keep his commandments and his statutes, and those that would be circumcised therefore in the heart, that there's no respect of person. Okay? Verse 18, he doeth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widows, and loveth the strangers in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrific things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy father went down unto Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God has made thee as a star of heaven from multitudes. Now, let us understand, excuse me for messing over terrific earlier, but in that other verse, but let's look at this. He had chosen them and made them above all nations and people, and he had called them out, and he'd given him their law. We see there, he told them to love God with all thy heart and all thy soul. He had given them the commandments. He brought them down to Sinai. He had delivered them from out of bondage. He had given them his laws, and he was working through that nation. He talks about there, as he says, the fathers. Of course, he's pointing back to Father Abraham and the patriarchs, as he chose that nation and that seed, and the issue was that he was not going to be a respecter of persons. Now, if a stranger, we see very clearly, if a stranger had been there and placed themselves in the will of God through keeping his commandments, then that person would be considered one that would have an inheritance, just as one that was born in the house, or one that had been of that seed line. Okay? Now that's a requirement in times past. Okay? Now let's look at another scripture here let's look at Job chapter 34. Okay, let's go to the book of Job, and let's look at Job chapter 34, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Okay, Job chapter 34, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Okay, it says, "It is fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to the prince, ye are ungodly. How much less to him that accept not the person of the prince, neither regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hand." Now, this is an illustration here concerning the issue of the rich or a king. Or one, Job is, the author here is showing us that the works of them, for they are all the work of his hand. God talking about how all the earth is his. Okay? Now, let's also go back here to Peter again in Acts chapter 10. It's important that we look at some of the time past issues so we can understand much more the things that are being done in this but now period. Okay? Now let's look here at Peter. Peter in Acts chapter 10, and of course the verse is 34. Peter in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now what brought Peter to this understanding? What happened there in the book of Acts, there in chapter 10, after Paul's conversion? We want to make that perfectly clear. In Acts chapter 9, we see Peter here in Acts chapter 10. Well, let's start here in verse 13 and go to verse 17. Okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. It says, "And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now note Peter here in verse 14, his attitude towards the law. This is what is being illustrated. Verse 15, "And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, thou call not common." Okay? This was done thrice, and the vessels was received up again into heaven. Three times to Peter, folks. Thrice. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gates. Now, think about this. Peter, many people will tell you, well, Peter was first to go to the Gentiles, but did Peter first go to the Gentiles after he had received the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 1? How long did it take Peter if the message would have been for all that they understood that they would immediately go out to those that were not of the circumcision? When we speak of the circumcision, we speak of Israel. But when we speak of those of the uncircumcision, we're talking about the Gentile nations. Now, in the book of Acts, if you just pinch your hand, you'll find out that there's a lot of chapters there. A lot of things happen. Peter and the 12 did not automatically, after they had received the commission at the end of the four Gospels, or the issue there that we read earlier in Acts chapter 1, we understand that the Gentiles were not even being addressed. We understand very clearly that they were not speaking to you there in the early parts of Acts. Now, let's show this with Scripture real quick. and move on to another point. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, we just want to touch here. He says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." That's Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Alright, think about that, folks. He's addressing the nation Israel. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power of holiness we have made this man to walk?" Okay? You can march right on through. You can march right on through here as Peter in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, Acts 4 and verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole." Note Peter's audience and who he's speaking to. And at that point in time, they're following the order of the commission that was given unto them. Okay? Now, let us move on here. So, the issue was that God was a respecter of persons. Peter, under the law, would have been one that would have been a respecter of persons. Okay? Note that. Now, Acts chapter 10, one more verse here. And Acts chapter 10, and we want to look at verse 28, and Peter gives you the explanation. He says, "And he said unto them, Ye know that how it was an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one another's nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Now, that's why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. The information that's being addressed before the conversion of the Apostle Paul, we can understand here that it wasn't aimed at the Gentiles. It wasn't brought to a Gentile audience. We know that the Jews under the law was not communicating this message being commissioned at that point in time to go to the Gentiles, okay? So this doctrine there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the early part of Acts is not geared toward those of the uncircumcision, okay? So when we look there, real quickly, the point here being, as Christ said in Matthew 15, and 24, Matthew 15 and 24, "But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, back to our point here. Back to our point here in the study. Concerning the law, one had to come through the nation Israel. One had to be a part of the nation Israel. There in Acts chapter 1, when they talked about all those men coming there for the festival of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we see that they were all Jews and proselytes. Okay? And we won't read the verse, but we'll let Karen post Acts chapter 2, and let me get the verse here. Acts chapter 2, and just post up verses 9 and 10, okay? Acts 2, verses 9 and 10. For your record, you can see there that they were Jews and proselytes. And that's the point that we wanted to make here. Now, let's continue on here with the issue here. In Ephesians, now let us read down a bit here. Let us read down a bit here. Alright, and back to Romans chapter 2. Back to Romans chapter 2, and I think we had verse 12 and 13. It says, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as sin in the law shall be judged by the law." Okay? God's judgment, even though they wasn't in times past in the dispensation of grace, we see that God's judgment will fall upon those under the law and those without law. Okay? Verse 13, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Now, let's hold there at verse 13. How many times do you hear people that don't rightly divide the word of truth? They make an issue when they're trying to say that Paul preached the law, that they go to this verse, just as they go to a couple of others here, and they hold fast on that one verse. They say, well, Paul said here in Romans 2:13, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." That is information. That is information that was true in times past as Paul was addressing those of the circumcision. He's giving us the information here, and let's look, verse 14. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." Okay, verse 14, and let's look at verse 15 and 16. "Which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing of else, excusing one another." But note here, folks, that you won't find any one of those people that would bring that verse to your attention, Romans 2:13, that will ever bring this next verse to you, verse 16. And I guarantee you, you can mark it down. Paul says in Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Okay? Paul is bringing that perspective. Paul is bringing that perspective up until his ministry and showing you what God is going to do. He's talking about judgment and times past there, concerning the law. But he says, here we can look forward to this. This can be put in the ages to come category. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So folks, it would tell me very clearly that we need to understand what Paul's gospel was. We need to understand, as Romans 16:25, Paul preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Because Paul states in his word that that's what God is going to judge the secrets of man about in the dispensation of grace according to his gospel. Now, when we look at this, and it goes into the next few verses, he's talking to those of the circumcision that would call themselves Jews, and would think that they would have, because of their lineage, because of the seed line, that they would have a free walk. Now, let's look at this in its proper context. Now, he says here to them, he says, but behold, let's go down to verse 17. Let's go to Romans 2, 17 through 24. Romans 2, verses 17 through 24. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and maketh and resteth in the law, okay, and maketh thy boast of God, okay. These are proud people who are leaning on the law, who resting in the law, and not resting in Christ, and know of his will, and approve of the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that teachest a man should not steal, doeth thy steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, doeth thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorreth idols, doeth thou commit sacrilege? Sorry about that, folks. Just peered up at the screen. Anyway, verse 23. Thou that makest thou boast of the law, thou breaking the law, dishonoreth God. For the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Okay? Now, the issue here is Paul is using the very same thing that they were using upon him concerning law keeping. That's why Paul in his ministry, is going to tell us here in Romans chapter 3 and throughout. Now let's look here at Romans chapter 3 and let's first look here in verses 19 and 20. Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saideth, it saideth to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Okay? And verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. Now, think about that when you look at Romans 2:13 and why it's being said. The information that was being addressed was not to the church, the body of Christ. Now, in those passages, as Paul is telling them of the circumcision of those that are claiming to keep the law, he's saying that they're guilty before God and that every mouth needs to be stopped. He says, every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And that's the issue. Now, let's go here, and let's read down the passages. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. Okay? Romans 3, chapter 21 through 31. And note here the comparison of chapter 2 and chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In that verse we can see very clearly it says the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. You see the difference, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Let's hold here in verse 25. Being justified freely by the law. Nope. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Also, the point here, that Christ was a propitiation through faith in His blood. That's the object that we're cleansed by. That's how God justifies you, through the blood of Christ, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He may be just, and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Now note in those passages, He did not bring the law up to say that you must be justified by the law. Okay? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? The answer is nay. But by the law of faith. And that has nothing. The law of faith is not the keeping of the commandments or the keeping of the ordinances or the keeping of the Torah. Okay? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3 and verse 28 is the doctrine, the information that we need to understand there of concerning our justification. It's by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay? As verse 21 says, God's righteousness without the law is manifest. Okay? Verse 29. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? The answer, yes, of the Gentiles also. Goes back to the respective person's issue. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Okay? So Paul deals with the issue of our justification just by reading through the passages there as he's accusing those of the circumcision in Romans 2. And let's come on down here in verse 25, Romans 2, and we're going to read verses 25 to 29. Now Romans 2, verse 25 and 29, and we've seen people try to apply these scriptures to the church, the body of Christ. And they say, oh, I'm a true Jew because I'm circumcised in the heart and ears. Now let's look at these passages. For the circumcision verily profiteth, verse 25, if thou keepest the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now that would apply to those in the context as we read in Deuteronomy 10. Okay? Remember, as we saw, that they needed to love thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. They needed to keep the commandments, and therefore they would be justified before God. They would be circumcised in the hearts and ears. They wouldn't be called stiff-necked. Okay? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not be uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Okay? And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature if it is fulfilled the law, judgeth thee, who by the letter and the circumcision do of transgress the law. And here's the verses that are thrown up most of the time. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inward, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praises is not of men, but of God. Now, when you look at those final two passages, Paul is telling them there that they consider themselves true Jews, but he's making the illustration that they're not. It wasn't based upon the outward thing in the flesh, even though they were of the circumcision, but they weren't in God's will because of one of the issues that we see in Romans chapter 9 and throughout Paul's letters as he addresses them. The issue is faith. And let's look at that real quick. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. And Romans chapter 9 and verse 31 to 33. Romans chapter 9 verses 31 to 33. It says, but Israel, which follow after the law of righteousness, have not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Note here, they didn't seek it by faith. Okay? They stumbled at the stumbling stone. They didn't recognize their Messiah. They were going about as the traditions of their fathers, and just doing the works of the law, saying that that would justify them. But God was trying to get over to them the issue of faith. Just like in Hebrews chapter 11, with the issue of faith with all the patriarchs. Okay? The issue was faith. The issue was faith there very clearly, and that so that they would not stumble at the stumbling stone. Let us press on here. All right. Let's look here, and let's look at our beloved brother Paul here in, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look here in verses 6 through 9. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 9. It says, not with eye service or man pleasure, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Okay, Paul gives us some wonderful information. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Okay, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Okay, as your masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respecter of persons with him. That's some information for us in this present dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, remember who we were. Remember who we were in times past up until this point. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 22. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let's hold here at verse 12 real quick. Now, in verse 12, a lot of people take it because Paul is saying what we were apart from and what we were alien from and what we were strangers from, because when he tells us that we're one in Christ, then many people assume, and this is another point in wrongly dividing, they assume that because we're one in Christ, that we take on all the physical promises of Israel. That because we were strangers from the covenant of promise, that now we are under covenant relationship as Israel was. That we were alien from the commonwealth of Israel, they say that we are under the commonwealth of Israel now, that we are Israel. They say that, now we can understand this, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, Gentiles in times past, even though God was their creator, God was the Father, but God was not with them. Okay? Now we can understand that from the verse. Let's go move on to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes afar off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we're made nigh to God by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now there's the point there in the study, that one thing that separated us from God was the middle wall of partition. Our access to God was being put down by the middle wall. We couldn't get through. Times past, a Gentile would have to come, the middle wall of partition was up, so one would have to come through the nation Israel. Okay? Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Here in verse 15, you need to understand that what was against us and contrary to us was the law of commandment. That was what was set up there in that middle wall of partition. Okay? Now, through Christ, he has made us one new man, so making peace. Now, what is he doing? He's taking the one uncircumcised heathen or Gentile, and he's taking the circumcised Jew in this present dispensation and putting them together and making one new man. All right? He's not making a Jew a Gentile, so to speak, and treating him like the Gentiles in times past, or he's not taking a Gentile and making him a Jew and bringing all that baggage with him either. Okay? Some people get mixed up in that in right division. They think that because now they're in the church, the body of Christ, that everything that Israel had, that they become a part of. Okay? When the issue is that we become one of the body. God is dealing with that body of believers. And what we have, this both Jew and Greek, is the promises to the church, the body of Christ. Okay, verse 16. And that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity therefore. Now, the nation Israel was that agency that God was dealing with in times past to bring the nations to his will. They were supposed to be used to be brought to humble themselves before the true God of Israel. But here we see Christ is that agency, and his body is the agency that God is working through today. Okay? Therefore, he is reconciling the world unto himself through Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you who are far off and to them that was nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay? One of the promises. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Now a lot of people look at that verse and they say, see, we have everything that Israel had. All of those things, the land, the promises, the physical kingdom. No. That is clearly stating that we're in the household of God. And this house is going to be used to reconcile the world unto himself. And this house is going to rule and reign with Christ in the heavenly. Okay? Now, let us understand here the information. It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitted firmly together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Okay? In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Wow, I tell you, verse 22 is such a powerful verse there. A powerful verse. You could probably spend most of an hour or so just giving some of that information. It says, to whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Wow. Amen. Now, let us also look here. Let us also look here at Galatians. We're going to go ahead and look at. Let us go back to the book of Galatians. We may run over here a bit, but we're going to try to wrap it up in the next few minutes here, folks. But let us go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 through verse 29. Galatians 3. And verse 26 through 29 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay? Now remember this point in verse 27. Many of us have been baptized into Christ. Okay? That's the point the author wants to show. We've been baptized into Christ. Now, was that the crowd there at John's baptism and Matthew 3 as we showed last week? No, it's not. They were baptized with water unto repentance. But here, this is the 1 Corinthians 12:13. Post that up, Karen, after verse 29. That's the 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 crowd. Okay, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Jesus Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, why do people want to identify today as a Jew or a Greek in Christ when there is no Jew or Greek in Christ Jesus? Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13, remember this with verse 28, with verse 27. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. God is not a respecter of persons in this present dispensation. If you are Jew or Greek, if you're bond or free, male or female, if you're immersed into the church, the body of Christ, you are one with Christ and one with the body. That's the point we want to illustrate here tonight. Okay, Colossians, real quick, Colossians 3, and verses 10, Colossians 3, verses 10 and 11, Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Okay? The issue about a respecter of person, we see very clearly in that passage there to back it up again. God is no respecter of person for those that are in Christ. Okay? Your identification is not to identify yourself as a Jew. Okay? 1 Corinthians, we already looked there at 1 Corinthians 12:13, and that clearly indicates there for your notes when you look at verses 12 to 14, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Okay? That's the point that we wanted to show clearly here in the study tonight. Because those points, those points of the circumcision having an advantage, Paul talks about there in his letter, and let's look at this point very, real quick. In Romans 3 and verse 1, he says, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Okay? That's the point there, continuing from Romans chapter 2 and the issue of circumcision and being a Jew. Paul is making the case there very clearly that they're all considered under sin, as he did there in verse 23 of Romans 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Just as in Deuteronomy, in chapter 10, and we looked at some verses there, but let's go back to verse Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16, circumcise therefore your foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Okay? So the automatic ticket wasn't for them because they did not seek it by faith. Okay? Now, we can understand that. We can understand what Stephen said there in Acts chapter 7, and verse 51. He's addressing those of the circumcision. He's rebuking those of the circumcision. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Okay? Now, just as in the same concept as Paul is rebuking those of the circumcision, we read some of my scriptures that I share, and the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 4, he rebukes them also. He rebukes them in Jeremiah 4 and verse 4. He says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judea, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like none can like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doing. Okay? Jeremiah 4 and verse 4. Okay? Understand here. They're not rebuking the Gentiles, just as Paul was. They're rebuking those of the circumcision. Okay? Let's look at another passage by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 25 and 26. He says, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcision, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Amos and Moab, and all that are in the uttermost corner that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart." Okay? That's what Paul is laying out there concerning that apostate nation there in Romans chapter 2. He's giving us that information. He's telling us what has happened to that apostate nation. He's telling them that God is dealing with a body of believers through faith today. Okay? Let us look here and let us look here in Galatians chapter 6 because some of the same issues with the circumcision came up there with the assembly there in Galatia. Galatians chapter 6, and let's read verses 11 through 18. Okay? 11 through 18. He says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." Okay? "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constraineth you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." Remember the issues there in Romans 2? "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, neither uncircumcision, but a new creature." Amen? He says here, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Okay? "For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Okay? Now, let us look here real quick at Galatians 5 and verses 1 through 6. Okay? Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Okay? "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Okay? By faith. Okay? Verse 6. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Amen? Now, to conclude the matter here tonight, let us go here to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. Okay? Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Okay? Now, for anyone that's here tonight in the room that want to have that blessed assurance and blessed hope of their salvation, to be a member of the church, the body of Christ, to be sealed until the day of redemption, let us look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul says here, as he told us there in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, that he would judge the secrets of men according to my gospel, where here's some good information that we need to understand. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Trust on that, and believe that, and trust that, and that alone, today in this present dispensation of the grace of God, and you will be a sealed, saved, forever member of the church, the agency that God is dealing with today, the body of Christ, where all your sins are forgiven at Calvary's cross, and that you are not under the law, that you're under the grace of God, and the grace of God teaches you today, according to Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, and your information is contained there in the letters of Romans through Philemon, the information for the church, the body of Christ. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assembly tonight. We thank you for your word rightly divided. We thank you for the information and the fellowship and the truth that only comes from your word that will work us effectually in us that believe that the doctrine that we study here, the information may edify the believers and edify those to press on in their ministries here dealing with the agency that you're dealing with today, the church, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen again.